Welcome to Fellowship Talks, your weekly connection to the life and ministry of Fellowship Bible Church. It is our desire that this podcast will reinforce your worship on Sundays and encourage you as you live your life for Christ this week. Here are your hosts, Dan Schaefer and Amy Scrivanos.
Welcome back to Fellowship Talks. It is good to have you with us today. I'm so glad you're here.
Yes, it's so good to be back. We've been receiving some great feedback from our listeners. We have listeners from around the church, but we also have listeners from different parts of the country.
Yeah, thanks for listening. You're making this podcast worth every bit of effort we put into it. We want to deliver to you a quality show that you can listen to and you can grow from. So feel free to continue to send us suggestions or questions that you might have.
So have we had any more emails come in to Fellowship Talks, Dan?
Yeah, Amy, we've had some more input. I want to give a shout out to James Van Pelt because he emailed us with a challenge for us on the podcast today.
Oh my. So what's this challenge?
Well, his challenge was for me to try to talk in a British accent during the show today.
All right. So are you going to accept that challenge?
I accept your challenge, James.
All right. I think you can do it.
Here we go.
Amy, it is so good to be with you today on Fellowship Talks. I am excited to accept James's challenge. How am I doing, James? One of my favourite things about doing Fellowship Talks is being able to interact with our listeners. We really have the best church. So, keep sending in your thoughts, suggestions, or questions. I could do this all day. What are we going to talk about today, Amy? I'd love to talk about a few football matches, but I don't think most of our American friends would know anything about what's going on in England. What's going on? Is this bad?
All right. Well, obviously that is not me. This is George hanging out with us today. George Butler. George is actually English and he's from Britain. George, thanks for being with us today. Thanks for hanging out.
Oh, sorry.
And
I had no idea we was live right now. You could have told me. Sorry, everyone.
That was so great, George. Thank
I thought
you.
This was going to be
recorded
and edited. And sorry, everyone that's listening.
That
I really messed that up.
Great, Dan.
Well, thanks for playing along. And James, I hope that we satisfied your desire for a British accent on the show. Amy, you couldn't even control yourself there. You were laughing so hard you couldn't even communicate with George. I mean, me, as I was talking in my British accent there.
That was so great. The whole time he was talking, I was picturing it, you trying to talk in a British accent, and I just got so cracked up.
Well, George is one of our, he's on our media team here at Fellowship. He's one of our designers, our graphic designers. So a lot of what you see around the church from some of the signage or some of the things on the internet comes from his eye and his hand as he crafts it together.
He's amazingly creative and does such a great job.
Yeah, we love you, George. Thanks. We love working with you here on the Fellowship team. Thanks for playing along with us today. Well, today, Amy, we're going to pick up right where we left off last week on our social media chat.
That's right. We have Trish and Tyler back with us today. Guys, thanks for being back with us.
Yeah, thanks for having us back.
It's exciting.
Yeah, we had a great discussion last week and really looking forward to just digging in a little bit deeper on this topic of social media and how to parent our kids with this.
Yeah, last week we really pressed into, as parents, we shouldn't be afraid to touch our kids' lives around social media. Interact with them, ask questions, be involved, step into their lives. And be willing to just to get to know who they are around social media.
Yeah, for sure. No, that's good. I think, like we had mentioned last time, social media or a phone isn't like a bike that you get your kid. It's like you don't ask about the bike, but you need to be constantly asking about what's happening. What are you doing on social media? And so, yeah, that's good.
So let's start our conversation today around just kind of helping parents with some of the guardrails that they can put in place, some of the boundaries they can put in place, or that they should incorporate into their parenting around social media.
Yeah, well, I would say, I mean, if we just start from the beginning, when you think of like when you give a kid their first device, their first cell phone. One thing that we are seeing a lot is parents are doing some cell phone contracts with them, or they're, you know, you lay those boundaries and those guardrails, you talk about those things from the beginning. You know, you hear, I used to be a teacher, and so in the classroom, they tell you when you go into the classroom at the beginning of the year, you want to be a little more strict at first, and then you back off as they kind of learn like the classroom guidelines and that kind of thing. And so same thing with cell phones is you want to set up those guidelines, talk about those guidelines with a child when you're handing them that. And so if you, I mean, really, if you get online and you Google cell phone contracts, you will see all kinds of examples of a contract that you can do. We're seeing a lot of parents do that with a child because most of the time the parent is paying for that cell phone. And so you can have that conversation with them of going, if we're paying for your phone, as long as we're paying for your phone bill, we're going to do that. Now, maybe by the time they're older, you have them paying for their own phone bill, but you start to lay out some of those guidelines in writing. And you know what? If you don't adhere to these guidelines, then here are the consequences, or here's what we're going to do. So I would say cell phone contract is just a big one to go ahead and do from the beginning.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And I think that can look like, hey, we're going to give, 30 minutes of cell phone time after school or whatever that may be, an hour. We had mentioned the parent gets any sort of time when they want to interact with your phone, like they've got full reign to get, on that. So I think that's good. We see a lot of parents as well. When I talk to parents, just saying we do a bedtime check-in. So it's like, hey, at 8 o'clock, everybody checks in their phone, mom, dad included, like put it in a box and we can get it up when we get up in the morning to go to school. I think that's really, really a strong idea right there. For parents, just say, you know what? Hey, I too can also sacrifice, like, and parents are not, averse to, like, they will still get addicted to their phones or they're still on social media. So it's good for them to lead by example, and set that guardrail in their own life and guard their heart, from that as well. So
that's so good. I've never heard of the contract. I'm going to be looking that up because that's a really good one. Really helps with that clear communication of what the expectations are about how we interact with our phone and with people through our phones. The other thing I found with what you were saying, Tyler, about the kind of taking in the phones at night is that my kids too have, even with like when they have a sleepover, we have differing opinions in our household on this. Like one of my children doesn't want me to take their friends' phones because that's embarrassing. Mm-hmm. But then I have others that will say, well, I appreciate that you do that because it gets my friends off their phones and we all hang out and talk to each other.
Right.
And so that can be beneficial too, just even taking that out so that then they're spending time face to face talking with each other instead of on their phones.
Yeah. I think that screen time at night is really important too, because more and more studies are coming out for adults and for teens showing that getting rid of the screens out from our eyes before we go to bed is really important. And having about an hour where we're not staring at a screen before bedtime is really important for our overall health and our overall sleep.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Trish, you mentioned the contract.
Yeah.
And as a parent, that makes me kind of nervous because I'm not sure exactly how my teen or my child is going to react to this contract. How have you guys seen, Trish and Tyler, how have you guys seen teens reacting to their parents giving them a contract or presenting them with a contract?
Yeah, well, the way that I've seen it a couple ways is as they get their phone, the parent sits down with them before they get their phone. And just like if you were buying a car, it's kind of that process of going, man, you sign all these papers, like you sign these papers and you agree to, pay this much on your phone, or you agree to adhere to that. And so what it does is you just explain to them the responsibility that a phone is that you have, and you explain that that is theirs and you're entrusting them with that. But ultimately, if you're the one providing it, you're the one paying for it, then there's going to be some responsibilities that they have. Just kind of like where they're, if you think about with a car, when you have a car, one of your students a car, you kind of have these guidelines of going, okay. And so just sitting down with them and talking about the responsibility it is to have a phone and talking with them about, hey, we just want to help you and help guide you in how to use this the best way possible. And what that looks like is just having them, and maybe a lot of times you can give them a few things of, these are non-negotiables for us as a family with your cell phone, but let them come up with a few things. Ask them, what do they think? Because if you let them be a part of making that contract, then they're going to be more bought into that. And so giving them a chance to weigh in on that is important. And then I would make sure you have them sign it and then you sign it as the parent, so that there is, that responsibility of that. There's the weight of that.
For sure. Yeah. And I think for teenagers, they are kind of, I wouldn't say hungry, but they don't realize they're hungry for guardrails. I mean, like they don't know what they don't know. And so if they don't realize, or if they just see their friends interacting with, their phones, or they see celebrities and how they interact on social media, they assume that that's what's just going to happen for them. And they're not going to get 1,000 followers in a week. They're not going to, they're not going to have this huge platform. And so I think it's good for us to kind of talk about that on the front end, like maybe some expectations about social media. And on the other hand, it teaches them about authority. And I think that's maybe as we interact with teenagers, that may be one of the most difficult things that we have to navigate through is, and there's authority in your life, and authority is a good thing. And sometimes authority doesn't act good, but this is going to be an authority that's going to help you navigate and have guardrails. So I think that could be another benefit for the contract. So
that's really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think even as parents, we should be open and vulnerable with our kids and show them that we struggle with authority in our lives too, and submitting to authority. And even in our regular daily life, you know, just driving to the office today, how many people did we see run a red light or slide through a stop sign? The authority that is in our lives, but we are constantly in rebellion against that authority. So just checking our own hearts and realizing that what we're trying to parent our teens in are issues that we're dealing with at a heart level too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think our teens need to be aware of that.
For sure. Yeah. And we've even seen, you know, Dan, like you were saying, you know, for the cell phone contract, that's not going to work for some students. There, you might have some students that are more, some of your kids might be more like, no, I'm going to rebel against that because it's just directed to me. And so one thing I've seen a family do is they have a family cell phone contract. And so the adults and the parents, they sit down as a family and they go, here's how we're going to use our phones in this house. And so it's not just directed just to that child. So you're not singling out just that child. It's as a family, here's how we're going to use our phones. And so the adults, the parents agree to it and the kids agree to it. And so it's a family contract. So you could do that as well, just so it's not like some students, they will respond to the cell phone contract just on their own. But for some, it's like, no, they need buy-in from the whole family to know they're walking.
And what a good opportunity just to talk about, like you said, authority, and just the purpose of that is that providing what's best for you. And that's the heart behind that. It's not to rule and control. It's to give you life. And so I like that.
That's one of the boundaries that my wife established for our house around social media or technology use is that at mealtimes, we try to have mealtimes regularly with our family, there would be no cell phones or no technology at the table. And we started that early, even though our oldest child is only 7, just to try to build an atmosphere of that so that they expect that as we're growing up. And it's always a little humbling when my kids nail me because I pull my phone out to check a text message or something like that. And they're like, Dad, put that away. Yeah, we're at the table.
Sure. Yeah, that's good.
That's great, though, Dan, because I think that, you know, we're reading a lot of times in books and articles and listening to podcasts now, and they're all talking about having tech-free times and tech-free zones in your home, and you have to create that. And so I think it's great that even though your kids are younger, you guys are creating, I mean, mealtime is a huge one.
Yeah.
And just an easy win to be able to go, okay, we all throw our phones in this bowl in the middle of our table, and that way we can talk during that time. And then after that time, you can grab your phone and you can go back to that. But just creating those times where it's tech-free in your home is so great.
That's good. That's good. So what are some of the effects of social media usage? I know when we talk around teens, there's a lot of identity issues that come up or this idea of phantom communities and different things like that. Can you guys share a little bit with us of some of these side effects?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. One thing we're seeing, you know, there's this idea of phantom community, and you might not have ever heard that term. I hadn't before we started, you know, kind of diving into this world of social media. But phantom community, it's the sense of connection and attachment and community that it feels real for students, but it really isn't. And so what happens is you have, you know, a student that's on a social media site, and they are, you know, following these people that they might not even know, that are, you know, it's a person that is older than them, maybe, or it's a person that's married, or it's somebody that's lives in a totally different state, and they're following them, and they are living this life through that. They maybe comment, and the person comments back to them, but it's this sense of community that they have, and they would say they have a relationship with that person. Well, they've never met them, they've never seen them face to face, they've never interacted with them. So it's this false sense of community that they have, and so we see this phantom community thing kind of come up.
Yeah, I was talking to a teenager just the other day, and she was talking about, man, I'm trying to kind of go after the one when it comes to this this idea of going after the one, kind of a mission for our church. And I was like, well, what's her name? And she was like, I don't know, her handle's Panda. And I was like, so you don't know this person. And so she was like living in this community, but also trying to redeem it to some way. So I think it's just a really interesting world that we live in now with that, because you can be connected, but also you're not, you know, it's just a weird thing for that. But I think another thing, some of the effects is, I mean, social media will lie to us. And I think there's two things that I want to say to that. One is we see a lot of teenagers who are trying to escape from their current reality, whether, man, it's mom and dad are fighting, or I'm getting bullied, or whatever. And so what they do is they go to social media, or they go to their phone, whether it be YouTube or even Netflix or Hulu or beyond that, just that entertainment world, and they say, man, this is where I'm going to quote-unquote rest. This is where I'm going to, you know, just relax and get away from that. And when I talk to teenagers about that, I say, you know what? Social media does promise that you can come to social media, come to technology, and you can put your burdens down. But once you're done binging that, you know, Netflix show, or once you're done on Instagram or whatever, you got to pick that stuff back up when you leave. Like, you can't just leave it there. And it just kind of brings to mind Matthew 11, when Jesus talks about, man, come to me, all who are burdened, and I will give you rest. And it's like, well, Jesus promises that you can bring all those burdens, whatever they are, to him, and you don't have to take them back. Like, he is your savior, and he is your, you know, God's your good father, as we sing before, you know, we sung before. And so I think that's how, man, social media will lie to us and lie to teenagers, thinking that they can escape from their current reality. The reality is, man, their parents may still be fighting, or their room's still going to be dirty, or whatever issue they have. So that's on the one hand. I think another thing, one of the effects is, I was thinking about this on the way in, our high school seniors this year were born in 2000. So, like,
wow.
So they don't know a world without internet. They don't know a world without terrorism. Like, they grew up in the 9/11, you know, like, that's not like a, oh, I remember when it happened. It was like, no, I was like born or I wasn't born then. Yeah. And so they live in a world of fear. We talk about, you know, 2008, the stock market crashing, or the housing market crashing. And then you see all of just the different terrorism things that happen. And we see that through social media. We see that because we are so connected. And so I think that that's just maybe an effect of social media for our teenagers, but they don't know any different. So it's one of those, like, how can we lead them through a kind of a fearful world that we live in, all the while showing them Jesus and all that. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As I hear you talking about that, I love what you're saying there. About just when we take our burdens to Jesus, that he takes those. And that is just such a good conversation that I don't think I've really had with my kids about their interaction with social media, and just what is the need that you're trying to fill. And there are some good things, and you know, there's definitely some good interactions, I think, through social media, good connections that they are interacting with their friends. But to have that conversation of you know, what are you expecting that to meet for you that really Jesus needs to meet? And and that's kind of what I think the next thing we can talk about is just kind of that parenting the heart of our kids. Because we know that, like, the tendency can be to just put really strong boundaries in place and let that control the behavior. But even if I said, okay, I'm not even going to let my kids have a phone, even if I went that extreme on it, I still cannot keep them from being exposed to all these things, because they can sit down beside their friend who's on this and see, you know. So I still have to parent the heart of you know, kind of what they're experiencing there. So talk to us a little bit about that, from just, you know, kind of how you parent the heart of a kid in this.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I would say that, you know, it's easy. It is, like you're saying to me, it's easiest for us to hear all of these, like, potential effects or these challenges of social media and be like, well, I just don't want them using it at all. And I would say don't do that, because they are going to find a way to get on that. And it can be a very private thing. And like we were talking in the episode last week, I mean, it can be something that they hide. And so step into those conversations. One thing with this group of this age range that we're working with right now, this generation that we're seeing, is they want to know why. They want to know why to everything. And they want to know the heart behind things. And that's not a bad thing that we're learning. But we've got to be prepared as parents and as working with students. We have got to be prepared to explain why we want that. And so, you know, just making sure you're reading. I mean, as you were talking, Amy, I think of so many of our girls, their identity is so wrapped up in a social media, whether that's Instagram or whether that's how many followers they have on Snapchat. And a lot of, you know, what they post, they will post a picture, and if they don't get more than 100 likes, they will go back and delete it because that is something that didn't, and that just, I mean, that makes me so sad. And so as a parent, being enough involved with your child that you can go, hey, why did you delete that picture? Mm-hmm. And, you know, what is the heart behind that? And going, you know what, let's take ourselves back to truth. Let's open up to Psalm 139 and let's see how God created you. Because mm-hmm. going, I mean, you just always want to go back to the heart and the truth of social media, of how we are created. Because so many of our girls, and I would say guys too, but I see that a lot in girls. So many of our girls are finding their identity in who likes their post and in how many followers they have. And so we're seeing that a lot. And so I would say making sure to just have those conversations about the heart behind, you know, you are not, your identity is not based on your likes and on your followers and all that. That's a huge thing for
social
media.
And I think that on the one hand, that's the exciting thing about this is it does present so many opportunities to have those heart conversations with our kids. If we're being intentional as we go about it and are aware, then those opportunities are just there day after day to have these heart conversations with kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, it just reminds me of Proverbs 4 where it talks about guarding your heart, because from that everything flows. From your heart, that's where, man, your affections flow, and that's where all that. And so, I mean, like you guys have said, it's not good to say, I mean, we're going to just create these hard boundaries with no heart behind it. But we like to create boundaries because we can monitor that. We can't monitor a heart change, you know. And so I would just encourage parents just saying, even when you feel like you're not getting anywhere, even if it's like a contract or what are you talking about, the heart, like, man, just keep pursuing your kid's heart. And you won't recognize it until it's changed. You know, you won't realize until your kid comes to you and say, you know what, like, I was singing about taking this post down, or I was singing about doing this, but man, I feel like I don't feel like what the Lord's calling me to do. And I think it's a perspective change too. Like when we look at even just time on social media or whatever we're doing there, I mean, is our heart's affection drawn to Jesus? I mean, would we be able to say, you know what, for the next month, I'm gonna be off social media, you know, and the internet's gonna survive without me. And like, are we gonna be able to say, you know what, Jesus is better? Like, I just want to take a little bit of time off of social media. We challenged some of our teenagers in our last series called Sour Milk. It was kind of a silly name with a really powerful image behind it. This idea that as we look at culture, there's a lot of things that look totally normal. Everybody's doing it, whether it be social media. But when you actually participate in those things, you realize there's something behind it. Mm-hmm. Sour milk. So that's kind of where that came from. But I just challenged some of our teenagers. I said, you know what? For some of you, you need to just be off of social media for the next week or month or whatever. And it's been super cool to hear some of the stories. And I'm like, hey, did you miss it? And they're like, you know what? I thought I would. They're like, my phone's a little more boring. It's more of a paperweight now. Like mm-hmm. I don't have anything mm-hmm. to do with it, but like, it's been good. I've been able to do some of the things that I actually really like doing. So
what happens if a teen posts something to social media, and as a parent, I'm sitting here thinking, oh, I really wish they wouldn't have posted that. That's terrible. Like, I need to discipline them in some way. How should a parent approach that post with their child?
Yeah, I think that conversation would be a little bit easier with a lot of conversation before it. So like talking about the contract, or talking about like just being open with it. If you come in and you let your phone, you know, you let your kid have their phone and do whatever, and then they post, you're like, oh, I don't like that. And then you come in and it's, you know, that's there's a lot of potential for there to be a lot of tension there. So not saying that you shouldn't, I'm just saying having conversations on the front end before they make a mistake or before they sin on social media would be good. But I think it's just a bold step you have to take, just saying, this is not, we could think of anything to post, whether it's, you know, something with cuss words in it, or, you know, I don't know, but man, just laying it before them and saying, now, does this honor the Lord? Is this a healthy thing to do? Like, we're talking about comparison and identity. Like, where is that coming from? Always going back to the heart. Mm-hmm. But it's got to be through conversation. I think you can, I like to tell parents, man, freak out on the inside, don't freak out on the outside. Because when teenagers see their parents, like, you know, they're getting a rise out of them, well, man, if that's the only attention they're getting from you, then that's the attention that they're going to crave. So I would just say, man, over communicate for that. So
Yeah, and I would add, just knowing that most of your students at some point over the course of, you know, their teenage years are going to make a mistake on social media. It's, you know, whether that is commenting a mean comment, you know, saying something mean where another parent calls you and is like, hey, your daughter posted this on social media, or whether that's posting something they shouldn't, or friending someone that they don't know that's a stranger. But most of them are going to make some sort of mistake. I mean, think when we, you know, when we learn to drive, we, some people have wrecks, you know, we get a speeding ticket, that kind of thing. But what better way for them to make a mistake under your roof where you can talk about the heart behind that and you can use that as a learning experience? And so I think as parents, just walking into that, not being fearful of that, but going, man, when my child makes a mistake, what a great time for us to just sit down and talk. And like Tyler said, always go back to what's the heart of that rather than the rules. Always go to the heart and just go, man, let's just talk and let's have an open dialogue and an open conversation of why did you post that, or why did you friend that person, or why did you say that? Yeah. The more you can talk about it, the better.
Yeah, and I think one of the ways that teenagers interact with their Heavenly Father, if they can feel forgiveness from their parent or from an authority figure, that helps them understand forgiveness from God. And so, I mean, it's a you know, we created these rules, or you made a mistake, there will be consequences. There is discipline. I mean, the Lord disciplines us for our good. And so, man, just even bringing that in, just saying, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be Captain No Fun. I care about who you are and who you're becoming. And so I think if we frame it in that, you know, my mom used to tell me that all the time. I was like, why am I in trouble? She's like, if I didn't care about you, then I wouldn't discipline you, but I do. And so I think one is, as teenagers feel discipline, that's a good thing, and that's something good and right for them to feel from their Heavenly Father as well as from their parent. And then the same thing as, you know what, like, you're not going to be grounded for 6 months from your phone, because one, that's, you know, that creates a burden, like trying to communicate with you. But also, and there's forgiveness in this. There is grace in this, and there will be grace upon grace upon grace, as well as discipline, you know. So I think holding that grace and truth in balance for the parent would be good.
Yeah. So what I hear you guys saying is that even in these kind of scary posts that kids may put out there, or will make this mistake from time to time, there's an opportunity to turn their hearts towards the gospel. And instead of reacting in fear in our own hearts, and going to our kids with grace and just asking questions and turning their heart to the forgiveness that God has given us, and just having these good conversations with our kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, y'all, this has been so good. I'm so thankful that you've been with us today, and I can tell you, just as a parent of teenagers, how much I appreciate partnering with you, because you all have an influence on my children, and I can't thank you enough for that, for sure. And I feel like we could have about 10 more episodes with you guys. But yeah, this has been so good.
Tyler, thank you for the work that you're doing on our Cabot campus and working with the teens there. Trish, thank you for the work you're doing on our Little Rock campus and working with our teens here. And parents, as you're listening to this, I would really encourage you, if you have more questions, if you're unsure about a specific situation that's going on with your child or with your student, feel free to reach out to our staff here at the church and have conversations with our staff about how to deal with some of these situations. Call Tyler, call Trish, you know, call some of the other staff that are on our campuses down in Benton. Cameron's down there, and like these guys are here to help you as a parent and to help teach and train your children in a partnership with you. So I just encourage you guys to reach out there. This has been a really good discussion, Amy.
It has, yeah.
Absolutely, guys. Thank you for listening to Fellowship Talks today. So until next time, I'm Dan.
And I'm Amy.
For As You Go, this is Fellowship Talks.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Fellowship Talks. We hope this podcast will help you be a more effective disciple of Jesus Christ as you love God and you love others in your daily context. Fellowship Bible Church exists to make disciples who live by God's grace and for His glory at home and across the world.